Ephata be opened. These last few weeks within our Catholic Church has been very difficult for us. The Pennsylvania Attorney General's report, former Cardinal McCarrick, abuse and resignation, the letter of accusation of the Pope by Archbishop Vigano, and our own local scandal with Presentation High School. It surely has been a brutal couple of weeks for all of us. And as many of you know, I've been greatly distressed by these matters over these last few weeks. And I thank you for many of you reaching out to me in concern. Today I'm going to speak very directly about some of these sensitive issues, and you may need to help your children with understanding them afterwards. I apologize for that ahead of time, but we Catholics need to speak honestly at this moment in our history of our church. Since I first preached about this 3 weeks ago, many victims have come to see me and have shared their pain, asking me to advocate for them and to be their voice. It has been a painful few weeks of listening to their suffering. And it became clear to me that if I was to be their voice, that I needed to first find my own voice. You see, I stand before you today not only speaking for the victims, I'm speaking as a victim of sexual abuse myself. I myself was sexually abused 35 years ago, and up until 2 weeks ago, I had never shared it with a soul, not even my own family. The shame was simply too much. It was overwhelming for me. Now, it happened when I was 18 years old officially, and the priest had spent 4 years grooming me for his final play. I first met him when I was in Boston with my parents visiting at age 14. He spent the next several years writing to me regularly, even coming to visit me in Ireland. While I should have recognized his smaller, inappropriate, touching actions throughout those 4 years, I never did. I was a young boy who believed I had a vocation to the priesthood, and I trusted a priest to guide me in that vocation. He waited until I turned 18 to make his move so that I could not call it child abuse. He even said that as he attacked me. While ultimately he was unsuccessful in his attempted rape of me, it left psychological scars, and even more so, spiritual scars that I've been dealing with for 35 years. The priest was a notorious pedophile and abuser in New Hampshire and Boston, who admitted to raping dozens of boys and young men. And in 2004, he confessed in court and was sentenced to 44 years in prison. He died in prison in 2006. With his death, I thought, as many victims do, that my suffering had come to an end. And I was wrong. I was deeply, deeply wrong. In reading the Pennsylvania Attorney General's report, traumatized me all over again. I read about the systematic grooming and labeling of victims, and I was transported back to my 18-year-old self. And I realized, and I cried for that younger self who lost so much. I realized that I could no longer remain silent, because the church has not learned from its mistakes. My efforts to change the church from within have been limited at best. So I did what I've always done. I've gone to the Lord in prayer and asked the Lord for guidance. And at first, the Lord encouraged me to use that anger and rage within me to fuel my ministry. And I have over those years. That's exactly what I've done. Then he asked me to have the sorrow be my face and let the anger be my fuel. And he said, don't make any sudden decisions or decision to change anything, and I didn't. Remain focused on Jesus, and I did. And still I asked, Lord, I need more. He said, listen to my word. Brendan, listen to my word in scriptures. And so he did. And today's scripture says, Jesus says to us, Ephata, be open. And immediately the deaf man's ears were opened and his speech impediment was removed. That was God's word for me today. I believe that it is time for the church to fully open its ears to the suffering of so many. And it's time for me to find my voice and to tell my story and to allow my speech impediment to be removed. So what now? What do I say? Well, to any of the victims out there, whether it be at the hands of a priest or someone else, I ask you to try to find your voice. The truth will set you free. After 35 years of darkness for me, let me tell you that the light is so much better than the darkness. After finally telling my story to my closest family and friends, my healing, my true healing is beginning. My anger is giving way to sorrow, and that sorrow is finally giving way to a deep peace in my soul. The truth has set me free, and I believe that can do that for any other victims out here. I know it seems impossible, but I ask you to ask the Lord to gently give you the courage and the strength to find your voice. Whether it be about abuse or other serious wrongs done to you. As Maya Angelou says, there is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside of you. The price is high, but the reward is great. And so to the family and to the friends of victims, if they come forward, I ask you to please just listen to our pain without judgment. We do not expect you to solve our hurt or the suffering of the past. We just want to be heard. And strangely, I don't know how this works, but just telling the story heals us. It's a healing process. We want you to still love us for who we are. We have not changed. We are wounded. We need your love more than ever. We are not broken goods. We are not broken goods. We have wounds, but we are not the wounds themselves. They do not define us. So just please listen to our stories. And to those in authority in church, I believe Jesus says these words today, the scripture to you. Ephatha, be opened. Please listen attentively to victims. Hear our pain and suffering. The pain never fully goes away. But that's okay. Just acknowledging it and hearing it is enough healing for us. Bishops, personally listen to these stories. So many more others are far worse than me. I'm one of the lucky ones who've managed to survive. Bishops, I ask you to please tell the truth of the past now. Please don't make victims go to court to have the truth be told. We're the church. We need to be bearers of the truth. Don't wait for every state attorney general to force you to disclose everything now about the abuses of the past. Please list every credibly accused priest on your website, with the details of what they were accused of, when, and where. If you already believe it's credible, then just tell us so we too can know. Then maybe other victims who are in silence can see and come out of their isolation and their own darkness. Please do not put fear of scandal and clericalism, the culture of clericalism, ahead of protection of children and vulnerable adults. Please voluntarily agree to an attorney general-like investigation in your own diocese and hand over the files of all your files to an outside qualified layperson so they can go through them and they can verify everything for the truth and disclose it all. I say to my brother priests, please say you're sorry for the sins of your brother priests of the past. We know it is not you that have done these things, but you still represent the priests of others. Bishops, say that you are sorry for your brother priests, your brother bishops, and make amends for the sins of the past. Please do some sort of public repentance, like promising never to wear your mitre in public for a year of mourning. Visit or work with abused women, something to show that you care about the suffering of so many. We believe you that it was not you who moved those sick priests from parish to parish. But the sins of your brother priests and bishops still weigh heavy on us. Share that weight, please, for a year of repentance now. Bishops, please work with the Pope to reform the governance of the church so that women have a voice of authority, finally. I really do not believe this travesty of justice would have happened if mothers and fathers were decision makers at those tables. I don't believe any mother or father would have allowed another child to be put in danger any more than they would have allowed their own child to be put in danger. And to all of you as parishioners, I ask you to please remember the victims and pray for them, especially those who remain in silence. Advocate for them that they receive justice. But please ask our bishops to be forthright with the full truth of the past now. But also support our bishops in doing that to act now, because it will be difficult and painful for all of us. And also here in our own parish, may we create a parish of safety, a place of healing, a community of true belonging where the wounded will feel like they can belong or are welcome. What Pope Francis calls a field hospital here in San Jose. Now look, my story is complicated. I get that. I'm a priest. I'm a pastor and a vicar general. It has been a difficult journey for me to trust the Lord again. But he has showed me the way. I will tell you, after the original offense 35 years ago, the Lord came to me and asked me to be a priest. And I had some choice words for him, I can tell you. I said, Lord, you got to be kidding me. You have got a nerve to ask me to be a priest in your church now. After all that you have allowed happen, no way, just leave me alone. But he didn't. He kept on coming back time and time again. And as you can see, I lost that battle, and I'm glad I did. I love my priesthood, and I love my ministry. And I've both here in the parish and in the diocese, and I fully intend to stay in ministry as a priest. I believe I have made a difference in many people's lives for the better, and I believe I've contributed to make our church a better place. I believe the Lord has put me here for this very moment today. And throughout all the years of pain, I believe the Lord has never, ever left me alone. He continued to love me, to heal me, and still calls me to serve in his church, as hard, as painful as that for me to be. I'm only here today because God keeps me in his heart, and he has surrounded me by loving family and friends. I'm only here because of God's grace, and I've allowed that grace to work in my life. That despite the suffering and the pain, the Lord is here no matter what, no matter how bad it gets. He has never left me, and I don't believe he will leave me now. But I also don't believe he will leave any of us. I believe he's been with our church all this time, and he continues to be with his church. But we must listen to Jesus Christ. We must advocate for the victims, and we must advocate for change and support our bishops in that change. It will be difficult, but we can do it. Ephatha, be open. Let us be healed.